I got a lot of emails from people with similar experiences in different states. To me, that's a very big problem. James O'Keefe has actually got Eric Holder's ballot because there's no identification at the polling booth. And a video, which I sent you, Patrick, shows that Democratic operatives encourage voting twice or three times. And, you know, you have to couple that with what the Democratic Party has done, this ludicrous campaign about voter suppression, which has no basis in any kind of reality. You know, poor people are capable of getting EBT cards in my state and getting welfare benefits. And illegal immigrants come to this country and, you know, find their ways into, you know, very fancy, actually, health clinics and hospitals, and they know how to scam the system, so they're quite capable of doing a simple thing like getting a driver's license or some kind of identification, or if you want a different kind of identification, that's fine with me. But I want to know that the person who's voting is actually the person they say they are, and not some dead person or somebody who's voting twice in two or three different in two states. And I think the Democratic Party has shown very much that it will spend millions of dollars and mobilize its forces to protect voter fraud and to keep the polling places from being honest. I mean, how difficult is it if you actually believe the system should have integrity for the two parties to sit down and do something about it? Well, one side is calling you a racist for even being concerned about it.
Brad, I know you've been looking at this for well over a year now. What have you found out about voter fraud claims?
Actually, I've been looking at it for almost a decade now, and the amount of disinformation that David just shared there in that one comment is rather remarkable. So if I could unpack it just a few of the points. First, David, are you saying that voter fraud was committed by your nephew at his nursing home?
It's my brother-in-law. What I'm saying is that
was fraud committed there, sir?
They were committing fraud, yes.
What is the name and the location of that nursing home? Because if what's that?
Are you calling me a liar?
I'm saying that if there was fraud, I'm asking you if there was fraud. As you wrote in your column, and I read it, and it was very troubling. So if there was fraud that you know about at this nursing home, I would hope that you would disclose the name and the location of the nursing home, and frankly, that you have reported it to authorities already, right?
So my brother-in-law, will be punished by the people who run the nursing home?
Are you saying that your brother-in-law committed fraud?
But is this a serious conversation?
Yes, it's a very serious conversation.
Caretakers of the home, you're insulting not only my intelligence, but the entire audience if they're listening to this. Look.
So you're saying that the caretaker committed.
The caretakers in that home, the whatever they are, the health workers, the people who run the home, this one happens to be a private home, it does get government money. And nursing homes, it happens in nursing homes, too, across the country. Yes, they're committing fraud. They are taking mentally disabled people who haven't got a clue. See, don't you care who votes? Don't you care if the people who vote understand the issues? I know the Democratic Party doesn't care because it busts Somalian immigrants who can't speak English and don't know what the heck they're doing and tells them how to vote.
I'm asking you a simple question. If you are concerned about integrity of the voting process, and if you have evidence that someone has committed fraud, it doesn't sound like your brother-in-law has committed fraud. You're suggesting that his caretakers.
This is
I let you, David.
You are,
I let you. David, I let you finish. Just I think it would be polite if you let me finish.
I give you a clear example. Don't put this on me. You have to tell David, me why you and the Democratic Party are not concerned about this kind of problem.
David, I don't speak for the Democratic Party. I'm not a member of the Democratic Party. I'm concerned about election integrity. You are saying you have evidence of fraud being committed by caretakers at a home, yet you are unwilling, I guess, to disclose the name of this care home.
No,
I'm sorry.
Listen, if you get me a district attorney who will prosecute these people and see to it that my brother-in-law is taken care of, I'll be happy to disclose the name of the home.
You have evidence of a crime. You have evidence of a crime, and yet you are not sharing that evidence.
Is it a crime?
I'm sorry?
Do I know that? Are there laws on the books?
There are laws on the books as far as...
If you bust in people who are Alzheimer victims or people who haven't got a clue as to what's going on in this country, don't speak English, and you bust them as the Democratic Party does bust them to polling booths.
Yeah.
I don't know
I think that...
Because of our kind of compromised sound quality, you can't both talk at the same time. So I'm going to have to ask each of you to let the other finish. But I did want to ask you, Dave. David, aside from this one event, do you have statistics or evidence that this is widespread?
Well, I have anecdotal evidence, and that people have written me. One person wrote and described this taking place in another state, and it was a sheriff's election that had been decided by 6 votes or something. I think it was in Montana, and he was frustrated because, the sheriff, the authorities weren't going to investigate it. I suspect it's a pretty big problem.
Well, you have evidence that...
I tell you, Patrick, look, I didn't make this stuff up. I don't have any stake in putting my brother-in-law on the line or making this stuff up. As you know, we've had conversations about this, but I'm not a crusader on this issue. But if I run into somebody who says he's 10 years concerned about the integrity of the voting system and he gives me the third degree... I have to give my brother-in-law's name and his nursing home in order to be credible. Forget it.
David,
okay.
You...
Brad, let me
David,
ask you this.
Can I respond to
people
David?
People in general, not David particularly, but if people in general do have evidence of this, is there a process that they can go through to report it, and are there places where you could locate statistics on reporting nationwide so that we can get a handle on how big of a problem this is, if it is a big problem?
Of course, you can report. If you have evidence of election crimes, as David claims to have, and of course his brother does not need to, his name does not need to be named. I didn't ask for his brother's name. I asked for the location of this nursing home. But if David has evidence of election fraud, of course he has a duty to report that to authorities. I'm sorry to hear that he seems to be, all I can say is covering up for election fraud by not reporting it.
Let's talk about David nationally.
You can certainly go to the local district attorney, David.
David, I'm now covering up for fraud.
Well, then I hope you will report.
You have to wait till Brad's done. Right. And, Brad, let's not talk about David specifically. Let's talk about the American population in general.
Well, listen, I am talking about the American population because David is a crusader on this issue. He has appeared with this he has appeared in videos by this this pretend election integrity group, True the Vote, which is a Republican outfit which is doing anything but protecting the integrity of the vote, unfortunately. He has appeared with them, for them. He has claimed, he has made claims about voter fraud that he has not backed up in any way, shape, or form. His evidence that whatever is going on with his brother-in-law is going on elsewhere is by what he says is one person who wrote about some election in Montana. David is, in fact, undermining the integrity of the electoral system with these claims. Now, there are very real claims with real evidence and real names to go with them. You know, the Republican National Committee spent millions of dollars this year hiring an outfit by a guy by the name of Nathan Sproul, who has year after year had his companies accused of destroying Democratic voter registration forms. The same thing has happened this year. The Republican National Committee has had to fire the group after thousands of fraudulent registrations. I'm sorry, at least hundreds of fraudulent registrations were turned in across 12 different counties in the state of Florida. These are real charges. These are real concerns with real evidence, real names, real locations. This is not my unnamed brother-in-law at some unnamed state, at some named nursing home, you know, was the victim of fraud by his caretakers. These are very real concerns. And much like the concerns we talked about before David came on the air with the electronic voting systems that can be gamed in a second's time, look, this is not about Republicans and Democrats as far as I'm concerned. This is about election integrity. This is why I went to bat this year for a far-right extremist Republican by the name of Alan West down in Florida when there were questions about his voting machines. David Horowitz, unfortunately, is a partisan. He's willing to throw out these charges without any basis in fact, when in fact you asked Patrick about evidence for these charges. Well, a news consortium recently went back and looked at every single election crime in all 50 states since 2000 and found that there were exactly 10 cases of folks voting, committing in-person impersonation at the polling place. That is the only type of crime that can potentially even be deterred by these photo ID, these polling place photo ID laws that David is advocating, has been advocating for some time. 10 cases out of some 600 million votes cast during that period. Yet he is willing to risk the loss of votes of some 25 million Americans who do not have the type of ID that are required by these draconian laws, okay, which are meant to keep Democrats from casting a vote, period.
Let's let David respond to that. David, do you have evidence that would indicate that this is a problem that's large enough to install voter ID laws that many say would deny others the right to vote? I think we may have lost David. David, you still there?
Wouldn't that be a surprise?
No. He said that he had a limited time frame today. Unfortunately, I think he ran out of time just because of the electronic glitch we had.
I appreciate you covering for him, but I suspect he didn't run out of time. I suspect he ran out of BS because David Horowitz has been lying to the American public. I think the conversation we just had makes that very clear. He was willing to make all kinds of assertions. He was unable to back up any of them. And instead of sticking around to do so, he decided to scram. That is not unusual. That's the same thing that's happened with other GOP voter fraud fraudsters like John Fund, like Hans von Spakovsky. John Fund, in his case, once he was called on some of his BS on the air with me, he also scrammed rather than stand up and respond to direct questions about his extraordinary claims. This is not unusual.
I just got a note from my producers saying that he was accidentally dropped and we're going to try to bring him back. But I should let you know that David did send me an email earlier that said that he only had 45 minutes today and we ate up a lot of that. While we're waiting for David to come back on, let's move to partisan secretaries of state. Now, this has always bothered me that the people who are in charge of elections actually belong to one of the parties, and as we've seen in many cases, are on the campaign committees of some of the people running. this seems to me like it's a huge problem and that something should be done about it, that maybe secretaries of state should either be appointed or should have to be nonpartisan. What do you think of that?
Well, in many cases, they are appointed. For example, the state of Florida appoints their secretaries of state, but in that case, the governor appoints them, and you don't find them to be any less partisan than they are anywhere else. In fact, they're often more partisan. The notion that any secretary of state is going to be nonpartisan is something that...
David's back. David, we
look,
moved on.
David, we're talking
about partisan secretaries of state.
I don't need to come on this show. I thought this was going to be an intelligent discussion of people mutually concerned about election fraud. Instead, I'm the subject of my friend and the subject of name calling by somebody posing as some kind of a disinterested expert when he works, for KPFK, for crying out here. I don't want to be slimed by a communist wannabe.
You just said I was calling you names, and you're calling me names?
I'm returning the favor. You're a liar.
What name did I call you, David? David, what name did I call you, my friend?
I'm surprised that Patrick even has you on his show, because Patrick is a decent, honest leftist, and you're not.
And you're claiming that I am not decent and not honest, David? Really?
Yeah, you're a liar.
A liar? What have I lied about? And shame, I hope you have evidence to back up that charge, David. That's pretty remarkable that you would make such a charge.
Yes.
What evidence do you have? What?
You're not a prosecutor, and this isn't a court of law, and there's no goddamn referee. So all these accusations, I'm responsible for voter fraud. I'm an activist in the True the Vote movement because I consented to appear in the first video that she ever made. I have nothing to do with True the Vote. I have not conducted any campaigns on voter fraud. This was an incident that just happened at Thanksgiving. I do follow this in the news. You didn't answer from the beginning. The issue is that the parties could sit down. Of course, there are different people who commit voter fraud or try to. It could be solved. There actually are technological solutions. But it is my judgment, and I am a Republican, it is my judgment that the Democratic Party has shown by calling everybody who's concerned about voter ID a racist that they're completely uninterested in this. And since
the ballot boxes are
historically stuffed in urban centers, like Philadelphia is notorious for stuffing ballot boxes. I won't even mention Chicago.
They use touchscreen. They use touchscreen voting systems. Are you saying they're stuffing the touchscreen voting systems in Philadelphia?
Look, I'm not going to argue with you after what you demonstrated on this show.
What have I demonstrated, David?
You're a vicious partisan. You want to take a conversation and turn it into a war, which is what you did by accusing me, first of all, of lying about my brother-in-law. Secondly, of being responsible for the fraud. I mean, unbelievable.
Maybe you heard a different show than I did, but I don't recall accusing you of being a liar about your brother-in-law. I don't accuse.
Well, yes,
I didn't accuse
you, did.
You of. I did. What did I say?
I asked you for evidence.
Look, David, I'm a journalist, not an activist. You have reported a case of serious election crimes. I'm asking you for the evidence to back up your charge. Is that too much to ask?
KPFK is a racist, anti-American station, and it has been for like 50 years.
We're going to have to stop this. We're not going to be calling people racist on this show. Now, we're not going to get into those kinds of personal. I'm going to take control here. I'm sorry. We're talking about problems with the voting system. We're not talking about individuals. As a matter of fact, Brad actually went to bat to get a recount for a black Republican congressman in Florida. Brad is also not a Democrat. So we're not going to get into that. Now, if you want to talk about problems, otherwise, David, we're not going to be able to continue this conversation. You want to talk about problems, yes, but not about personality.
Well, I heard what he said about my friend Alan West. Don't tell me that's not partisan. Don't tell me that's not an extremist statement.
He actually went to bat for Alan West. He said that Alan West deserved a recount.
Yeah, you went to bat for Alan West, and you slimed him on this show. Thanks.
I went to bat for Alan West. I went to bat for Joe Miller, for the Tea Party candidate up there in Alaska running for U.S. Senate. I've gone to bat for all sorts of Republicans when they have been screwed by these machines.
Maybe it's just my presence that's inspiring your really bad side.
We're going to take a break. I've just gotten a note from my producer. We're going to go to lunch.
You don't want to stay and back up your charges, David?
I have no interest whatsoever in talking to you, Brad. Ever.
Well, I don't blame you, since it seems you can't back up a single claim that you've made on this show so far.
I wasn't making a claim in the court of law.
You made a claim.
Aspects of the show today. We usually don't do that. In fact, we go out of our way to not do that, but because David was cut off for a while due to our technical problems, I want to give him an opportunity to talk. We're talking with Brad Friedman. We're talking about the integrity of the voting process and trying to come at this not from either a Democratic or a Republican point of view, but rather the process itself, because there are apparently many ways to manipulate voting in the United States, and that means that we really can't trust our democracy. We talked initially about partisan secretaries of state, and I just wanted to ask you, Brad, is it possible for the federal government to require that secretaries of state at the state levels be nonpartisan, or is that an overreach of federal authority and unconstitutional?
Yeah, I would suspect that is an overreach of federal authority. Even if it happened, however, it wouldn't matter, because I hate to break the news to you, but in this world, just about everybody is a partisan, and even if they are not, they will be accused of being partisan. So
yeah,
the solution is not... The solution is not in a system of so-called nonpartisan secretaries of state, but rather a system that doesn't rely on trusting anybody, doesn't rely on trusting in secretaries of state or elections officials, a system that is 100% transparent, can be overseen by we the people so that we can have true self-governance. You want a system that ultimately it doesn't matter who the Secretary of State is, because really the people are in charge. The Secretary of State
That's what I was getting at. That's the kind of things that Fairness Radio likes to look at. Is there a way to set up a system of checks and balances so that even the most partisan Secretary of State cannot manipulate the vote?
Sure, there is. And we talked about it a little bit earlier. If you have public hand counting of hand-marked paper ballots at the polling place, overseen by the public, the video cameras, all parties, etc., it makes it very hard to game the system. You will have to put in place, as we've seen during this election, certain standards for assuring that voters can actually vote. You know, as we've seen in a number of states where you've got, very partisan, secretaries of state this year, you saw voters standing in line for 2, 4, 6, 9 hours. There were people actually still standing in line to vote in Miami-Dade, Florida, when Obama gave his reelection victory speech on election night. That is shameful, absolutely disgraceful. So, certain standards can be put in place for things like early voting, certain numbers of hours based on how many people are how many voters are in each jurisdiction and so forth. That can absolutely be done. It can be standardized in that way. It needs to be done, frankly. And look, I'm no fan of early voting, to be frank. I think the best way to assure that your vote is counted and counted accurately is to vote on a paper ballot on election day. But as long as we're not going to open sufficient numbers of polls, as long as election day is not going to be a holiday, people work on a Tuesday. They can't stand in line for 2 hours, for 4 hours, for 9 hours to cast their vote. So, something does need to be done. Something can be done. But as long as you have a Republican Party right now who is fixated on the pretend concern of so-called voter fraud, that doesn't happen, by and large, at least not at the polling place. As long as the Republican Party is fixated on that, which isn't a problem, they are going to probably be unable and certainly uninterested in finding solutions to things that are actually problems.
Well, let me get back to that for a minute. And I don't want to get into contention about this, but there have long been stories of dead people voting in Chicago. And as David pointed out, there have long been stories of people voting multiple times in places like Boston and Philadelphia. I realize that there are studies that show that the number of prosecuted cases of voting fraud are pretty much one per state per year, that it's not a problem. How do you square this literature or narrative that has gone on ever since I was a child, frankly, of ballot boxes being stuffed in certain places and dead people voting in certain places with those studies? Is it possible those studies aren't catching things that do go on?
Oh, well, I'm sure there are certain crimes that go on, but I think it overstates it when you say one per state per year. I think even that's an overstatement unless you include really the only type of voter fraud that's really a concern, which is absentee ballot voter fraud. And the Republican solution, quote-unquote solution for voter fraud, is polling place photo ID restrictions that have nothing to do with absentee voter fraud. It should also be stated, by the way, because
no, I understand
David,
that, but I'm talking about the integrity of the voting system. And like I say, there have long been stories about dead people voting, for instance, and and a voting system that allows that to happen.
Let me respond to that, because there are a lot of stories about a lot of things. There's one story about some guy whose brother-in-law was told to commit voter fraud in a nursing home, and that one will now live forever despite the fact that there appears to be no evidence to back it up. So there are a lot of stories about everything. But what, guys like David forget to say is that ID is already required in all 50 states by federal law, the Help America Vote Act of 2002, signed almost unanimously by Democrats. So when you hear them say, oh, Democrats don't want ID, that's utter nonsense. If you do not register in person to vote, when you register in person, you must show ID. But if you don't register in person, say through a third party or something like this GOP group that committed voter fraud in a bunch of states this year, you will be asked, your name will be flagged. If you're a first-time voter, you will be asked to show ID when you go to vote. So this notion that somehow, people are registering 50 different times to vote in 50 different places is just utter nonsense. Yes, there are a lot of stories about a lot of things, and some of them are based in truth decades ago. But the laws have been changed. The electoral system has been changed. the problems that guys like David Horowitz imagined happened years ago do not happen now, and yet they use those stories to basically put forward disenfranchising voter suppression laws. And,
okay.
You know,
right.
There you go.
Okay, let's go on to list purging. Now, we had situations in Florida and Texas that I know of, and probably in other states too, in which supposedly felons and other people who were not qualified to vote were removed from the list. There was an immediate outcry from lots of people who had been voting for years that all of a sudden they'd been removed. Do voter lists need to be purged, and is there a way to do it so that it's accurate?
Voter lists do need to be purged, and once again, by federal law, they are purged with regularity. The problem is, you know, you get these stories from these GOP hoaxers like James O'Keefe saying, we found 30,000 people on the list in Florida who were dead. Well, yeah, as it turns out, people do die. And after they die, they don't tend to call the county clerk's office and let them know that they should be removed from the voting rolls. So, you know, there are concerns about voting rolls. They are supposed to be purged of people who have moved, of people who have died, and so forth. The system needs to be improved there. But as far as we know, there is no epidemic case of people taking advantage of problems in the voter rolls to try to cast an illegal vote. On the other hand, there are problems with partisan election officials, like we saw Governor Rick Scott in Florida this year, trying to keep people from voting by purging rolls, by purging veterans, by purging active duty military who are overseas and are not able to respond to letters or things like that, or making claims that there are non-citizens on the rolls, as the Florida governor did, claiming there was some 80,000, I think it was, or 180,000 non-citizens on the voting rolls, when in fact there weren't. At bradblog.com, we did a study. We actually went through all of the people who were named in this list that was given to Florida election officials, and we were able to find exactly 9 people out of 11.4 million registered voters in Florida. We were able to find 9 people on the governor's list who were in fact non-citizens, and none of them had actually cast a vote.
Well,
they were on the list accidentally.
That sounds like you did a lot of work, and I congratulate you on that. I don't know if I could have gone through 9 votes. Unfortunately, Brad, this is fascinating, but we are out of time, and maybe we should schedule another program to talk more about what can be done to protect the integrity of our voting system. But right now, I'm going to have to say thank you so much for being with us on for a whole hour today and for putting up with our technical glitches.
My pleasure, and for putting up with David Horowitz as well. It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Patrick, for having me.
Okay, thank you. And to our listeners, I want to thank you for putting up with our technical glitches today. We'll be back on the air at the usual time tomorrow with everything running smoothly. In the meantime, you've been listening to Fairness Radio with Patrick O'Heffernan from Cyber Station USA and our radio affiliates. If you like us on Facebook or follow our Twitter feed, you'll get real-time update on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan. I'm executive producer and your host. Program is produced by Fairness Radio Productions at the Cyber Station USA studios in Quincy, Massachusetts, and the Fairness Radio studios in Los Angeles, California. Tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow is, of course, Environment Day. Jeffrey Lean will be calling in from London. We're also going to be talking about the dogs of war. We have a wonderful book on presidential dogs and how they actually affected our history. Don't forget to stay tuned for Mike Siegel on Cyber Station USA and check out Chuck Morse's new program at noon on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.